each other with a holy kiss. Remember, he said holy. We'll be speaking to you this morning from James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Good to have Josh Huffman. Good to have the other Josh with us. Good to have Marshall and his friend with us. His brother. All right. Good. Good to have you. Good to have Brother Herbert with us. Yeah. I was fascinated with Brother Chris's reading this morning. I know the hard shell people go to that verse quite a bit, but I think they miss that we are elected in Him. In Him. In Him. One fellow said, "You believe in election?" I said, "Yeah, I do if it's scriptural." We are elected in Him. Now what that means to me, you get into Him, God elects you. That's what it means to me.
That's right.
See, well, if you don't get into Him, God don't elect you. See? Yeah. And he's the one. See, God, and I thank God for the scriptures. But one scripture that dwells with me constantly. God hath given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now if you analyze that, that means that God foreordained that sometime down the future, I believe, when he worded it that way, all the angels, the holy angels and the fallen angels, and all of Adam's race is going to be at some place, and they're all going to bow the knee, and their tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Now, most people in America does not believe that. But they will. And at that time, even those that bow the knee and confess, if they didn't get saved in this life, they won't be saved there. Because God is doing it to bless the honor of His Son, and I'm blessed to understand where Paul told us in Ephesians, forgiving one another, brethren, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Right.
Now that means a whole lot right there. That means me and you had no standing with God. You got no standing with God. But God sent His Son to be our mediator.
Yes.
Be the go-between. One preacher preached it like this. He said, Jesus Christ spiritually got a hold of God with one hand, fallen man with another hand, and He put away the enmity between us.
Right.
Paul said, now, brethren, you have peace with God. When I was under conviction, I didn't have peace with God. But when I confessed and repented, there was that sweet peace. There was that peace. And now let me say something. Paul said, when we were enemies of God. Now God's not my enemy. God's not American people's enemy. But they're His enemy. You say, well, I don't much see that. Oh yeah. Yeah, they're enemies. Or else they would serve Him. You see what I mean? I mean, the Bible says when we were enemies. You remember when you was the enemy of God? You remember when you said, I'm my own man. I don't want the preacher. I don't want God. Ruin me. You ever say that? In your heart. That's right. That means that you're a rebel. You rebelled against God. And God does have all power, whether we realize it or not. All right, that's not my lesson this morning. I just kind of felt like giving a few words there. Got a good congregation this morning. I praise God for every one of you. Amen. Hope and pray God's give you a good week. All right, I am in James chapter 3. And as I said last week, the book of James was written to give New Testament Christians a thought of Christian integrity. Now remember, when book of James was written, Paul had not come on the scene. At least his books had not been printed, had not been put into the Bible, far as we know. Because if we read the first verse of James 1, he said, James to the, let me read that. James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. As I said last week, may I say again, we had a New Testament church at this time and no New Testament. So James was writing them of some things that Christians need to do. Now, contrary to what some people say, when you're born again, you are ignorant most of the time of God's Word. You do not know. I mean, yeah, if you were raised in church like I was, you were raised to memorize John 3:16. But it didn't mean nothing to you. See? But when people get saved, they need to go on. Paul put it like this in Hebrews. We need to go on to perfection. Now that does not mean perfection in your flesh. It means perfection in knowing the Word of God as much as you can. And let me repeat myself again. Sanctification is not a destination. It's a journey. It's a journey. I mean, we're trying to perfect our flesh. Even if you get as old as me and Brother Herbert, we're still working on it. Still working on it. All right. So James is going to give some thoughts of what Christians ought to do and a Christian attitude. Okay? Now, Christian attitude, what the Bible says to Christians, it's not bondage. It's not bondage. We were taught in the book of Hebrews that the Hebrew people were in bondage all their lifetime. What were they in bondage to? The law. The law. I mean, how come them to just the book of Judges, they would catch up with God, give them 20 years, and they'd fall out? The bondage was something they could not endure. See? And Paul said, the law which none of you've kept. And that made all them Jews around him mad. But they had not kept it. See? They had not kept it. And one preacher said he talked to some people that come by his house and said they were peddling religious literature. And he said, sit down here and tell me how you get saved to go to heaven. Said, you got to keep the law. And he said, how many laws are they? And he said, they didn't know. But you had to keep it. Well, if you don't know, how are you going to keep it? He said, they tell me, the preacher said, they tell me there's 613. And they didn't know. And he said, I tell you what you better do. You better throw that Book of Mormon away and get you a King James Bible and find out how lost you are.
Amen.
So. Right.
You had to be chained to the law if you was going to keep the law.
Right.
And it could not save you. It could not make you righteous.
And we're going to find out in this book later on that, you know, people kind of think, the people that I've intermingled with a little bit, they kind of think if you keep the law in one point, you're a pretty good Joe. And we won't get into it today, but in this book we're studying, he says, if you offend in one point, you've broken the law. See? And so somebody said, well, when I come down here, y'all talk about the law, the law, the law. We do. Because the law is still good. And it never was given to save anybody. It was given to show us that we're sinners. You see what I mean? Now, I don't know if you know the law. Most of us don't know the law. But even if you know the Ten Commandments, how many of them have you kept perfectly? See, we haven't. We haven't. So I'm just saying this as your friend. Since you haven't kept the law perfect in the sight of God, you're guilty. You say, what am I guilty of? You're guilty of breaking God's law. See? Now, don't let that offend you, but let it make you understand that you need a mediator between you and God. See? I've already said, Ephesians, we are chosen in Him. In Him. See? Hard shell people say, oh, we're chosen, we're chosen, we're chosen. But they leave out in Him. All right. Let me get in the lesson this morning. Thank you for bearing with me. My brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Hello? In word? You get aggravated at somebody? You usually want to say, God bless you, don't you? Huh? No, we don't. No, we don't. That's our nature. See? Now, until you get saved, you will not understand this. But a saved man has got two natures. And the Bible continually tells us, let the inner man rule the outer man. And we have a problem doing that, don't we?
Yes, amen.
So James is telling these Christians, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. See what I mean? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And everybody here understands that. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Our words sometimes, we let our tongue get us in trouble. See what I mean? One man asked a preacher, said, well, where you preach, said, y'all got tongues? He said, no, I got one. I have trouble controlling it.
Yeah, there you go.
And you see what I mean? Now, sometimes, and I'm going to get a little grindy right here, so y'all hold on. Sometimes when we have bad thoughts, we say things, maybe even in jesting, that maybe is not convenient. I'm just passing that to you. I'm not setting you up as I'm an example. But I just find out that what's happened to me. See what I mean? So we got to watch our tongue. You say, well, I said a bad word, but said nobody heard me. God did. So we see here, We read verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about we have to guard our conversation.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm for, like we did last night, got together and had a fish fry and had a fellowship and a prayer meeting. I'm for that, and that's good. And I think Christians ought to be happy people. I'm not teaching we ought to just be glum and say I'm afraid to say something, but we need to be conscious that we are God's servants. Sometimes we forget. We get carried away with things around us that we're not God's servants. But you see, the writer here, now what did I say when I started on the lesson this morning? James is giving New Testament Christians some points on Christian integrity. And many people forget that the tongue is unruly.
Yeah.
Tongue is unruly. See? And Jesus said, and this is kind of scary, he said, I send you every word spoken in a closet shall be proclaimed from the housetop. I don't know when that is, but that's what the Lord said. So I have to be careful. I try to repent of things I've said, thought, or done that's contrary to the Lord's will.
Every idle word.
Paul said, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. That's not what you find at the people down at Walmart, is it? See, our English language, they've turned it, some of it, the adjectives into four-letter words because they want to emphasize my answer. Well, a Christian is not supposed to do that. Let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. All right? Okay? Verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. That's right, isn't it? You know, they used to have down at Florida, you had a whale down there, and we went down there and walked through there, and they let that whale, he'd perform various tricks. They had him trained, so they had him tamed, okay? Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, when we let our flesh get in a mode of I want to take vengeance on so-and-so because they didn't do me right, we're getting in a position for our tongue to do some damage. He probably said it was a lot of gossip. Now, all things, most all things, can be used for the glory of God. I'm glad I got an automobile to come to church in instead of a buggy. But automobiles can be used for wicked things, and they are. But you know, the tongue, like he said there, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So I got to be careful about my speech. Can I say something to you? We need to be careful about our speech even out there. Now we come in here and we're all kind of on guard. Well, you know, I need to what not to say much. I need not. And most of the time we are. But how do I do out there?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard sometimes. sometimes. And I know, we all have moods, don't we? Now, if we're prayed up, go out there, most of the time we do pretty good. But if we forget to pray and go out there, sometimes our mood is not, I'm not going to take anything off of anybody today.
No.
Well, come on now. Yes, sir. That's right. All right. Verse 9. He's talking about the tongue now. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. See what he's saying? We need to be careful with our criticisms. See? Now it's okay. I think it's okay if we criticize in a godly way. Now that's kind of touchy right there. But you know, Paul in Timothy, he criticized some people. John in 3 John, he said there's a man coming down through there in churches and he's throwing people out of church if they don't follow him. I'm paraphrasing that. So there is some criticisms that is acceptable to God. But see, the criticism should be based on the Word of God and not me be the author of it. Okay? Now, let me say something else. Sometimes things can be said about us that are true. But is it useful for the edification of the body? Paul said, let all things be done for the edification of the body. And I know you got to have conversations. You can't live without it. But we're just talking right here. He said, therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I don't think most of us can hide right there. I think that ought not to be. Now, what am I teaching? Teaching that James is teaching Christian attributes that we ought to have. See? He's not, nothing here is evangelistic type message. It's to Christians to teach integrity. And I don't care where you go, even today in the 21st century we live in, if your speech is not proper out there, they will brand you as, oh, he's just like us. He's just like us. See what I mean? And I understand, you cannot be preaching every moment of your life. But we need to guard our conversation. One of the writers said our conversation is in heaven. Right? Okay. Verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? See what I mean?
And one of the protesters walked by and spit on his face. And he just smiled, reached up and wiped it off.
Wow.
And smiled.
Amen.
That was a witness to this generation.
Yep.
Amen. You talk about a witness to this generation.
Yes, sir.
The average person, but it was a witness. Even professing Christians were witnesses.
Yep. You know, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I thought to my soul, man, what a testimony to the lost
world. Right. Yep. And you know, all of these things we're teaching, that James is trying to teach us here, the Lord was an example.
Man.
They spit on him.
Yeah.
And he could have called 12 legions of angels. And it took one to tear Jericho down. That's how much power he had at that time. But he endured it. He endured the cross for me and you. You know, everybody in that crowd, or several in that crowd, if you go read the crucifixion of Christ, they were taunting him to come down. They even said, if you'll come down, we'll believe you. Well, he could have come down, but he could have not come down and saved me and you. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. There's a good verse. You might want to underline some of that. See, that's what we're supposed to do. Use wisdom in our conversation. Now, let me say something to you, especially you young men. I found out that when I am approached to say something, I need to pre-program my thoughts. Is it going to be, first of all, is it going to be the truth? Or second, is it gonna give glory to God? See? And I'm just kind of being honest this morning. We get in little areas where we want to tell what we call little white lies. You're looking kind of funny. Right.
And you've got to cast that back. Well, the devil's a lot more subtle than that, and he can bring other things in here, you know. Well, Lord God, come on, Brother Robert, you didn't look at me just right.
Amen.
You know, and again, you've got to cast that down, because in my experience, most of what I thought was right is wrong. Proven to be wrong with many things that I thought was right.
So, yes, sir.
You know, you can't always go off of the same thing that hits your mind.
That's right. Verse 14.
Brother Lynn, just a point here. I didn't mean to interrupt you, although I did. We should approach it with meekness.
That's right.
We don't go with a high-hat hand and say, right. Well, let me tell you.
That's true.
We need to approach it with meekness and kindness and love.
Yeah.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me one of the greatest things we learned being sanctified was to get rid of our nature that was rebellious. I say this all the time. I think I'm right. The first sin Adam and Eve sinned was not eating of the forbidden fruit. It was rebellion. I mean, God had said, don't eat it. The woman even told the serpent. God said, we shall not eat it or even touch it. Well, he didn't say not touch it, but that was implied. But they did it anyway. And they had to have a mind to do it before they did it. And our old preacher used to preach, and boy, it has stuck to me, and y'all have heard me say it. A man that steals is not a thief because he steals. He steals because he's willing to.
Yeah, because
he is a thief. See? Are you willing to steal? Well, God knows that. See what I mean? Verse 14. But if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, there's a good point to examine myself. All right? Now, all right, let's go back to wisdom in verse 15. Now, he's talking about if you have bitter envying. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. See? Is my wisdom spiritual or carnal wisdom? See? Now, he's not teaching here not to have enough wisdom to go do your job out where you're making a living. He's not teaching that. He's teaching what the tongue produces. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. See? Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What is envy? Yep. Envy is, I don't like so-and-so, so I'm not going to fool with them, or I'm going to mistreat them. That's having envy. See what I mean? And hey, we all got to watch it. I'm not talking down to you. We all got to watch it, because that's one of Adam's traits. I mean, if you read the Bible and the Old Testament, there was a lot of envy, especially after Israel got a king. Quite a bit of envy in that nation.
You can even go back to where Adam's two sons, there was envy there.
Right.
It caused strife, and one slew the other.
That's what it'll finally cause.
Yeah.
If we let it run away with ourselves. Okay? Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See? I pray, and I hope God hears my prayer. I pray pretty often, God, let me not be a hypocrite. And we do have that tendency, do we not? Let me not be a hypocrite. All right? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See? And I think what he's concluding in this, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men, especially they of the household of faith. See? If possible, I'm supposed to live peaceably with all men. Now, I have a trouble living peaceably in my heart with Democrats. But I don't hate them. I don't wish that God would cause a bomb to fall in the middle of their gatherings. Because I know that God is going to take care of that in its time. But in closing this morning, let me say this. If we read Thessalonians pretty closely, Paul said, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And the falling away, he's talking about falling away from God. And I've spoke before on this, and I won't go into detail. But the falling away from God is really apparent in America.
Yes, sir.
When I was a child down at that Pollard Church, Every Sunday the house was full. Full. Sinners would come, attend church. Some of them got saved, some of them didn't. Well, where is it today? Go down there today now and look. So the world is falling away from even the morals that God, that people used to teach. And the church is falling away because we have trouble getting God visit us in a mighty way. We have trouble repenting of what we're guilty of before God's people. So we are in the falling away. But I said all that to say this. Paul said, then cometh the end. And at that time, God is going to judge everything about us. He's going to judge sins that's unrepented of. He's going to judge our envy. He's going to judge our strife. He's going to judge our idle words. That's pretty scary. I tell people all the time, and let me, we're all going to judgment seat if you're saved. And Paul said, no, addressing that, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Terror? And he's talking to Christians? Now, he's not talking about God might change his mind and cast somebody into hell. He's talking about making me responsible for what I'm doing in this life. Okay. Thank you for listening to me. I'm out of time. Anybody got a comment? Closing? Okay, thank you for being with us this morning. How many got your Bibles?